The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the host and the guests do not necessarily reflect the views of Praise 107.9 or its parent company, Delmarva Educational Association.
Thank you for joining Truth in Love Ministries, where we exist to connect people to God, to connect people to their God-given purpose, and to connect this church to the community. We would love to hear how God is blessing you as a result of this ministry. Connect with us on Facebook at Truth in Love Jax, or visit us on the web at truthinlove.tv, where you will also find our weekly broadcast. On the go and want to know what's going on at Truth in Love? Simply visit your mobile app store and download the Truth in Love app and get information on services, events, and even messages right at your fingertips. Tune in now, where the message is already in progress.
And see, Peter has to learn the lesson that when you're around greatness, you need to shut your mouth. Look, they're talking. Jesus, Moses, and Elijah are talking. And Peter interrupts them and says, "Hey, man, hey." He's like, "Man, is that, are you Elijah? Boy, that beard is banging, Elijah. Are you Moses? Man, you taller than I thought you were, Moses." He said, "You know what, Lord? It's good for us to be here. Let us make three tents and just stay here. We don't want to go anywhere. You know, there's a subliminal message. I believe there's a subliminal message, what Peter is saying. Because Jesus just rebuked Peter the chapter before and told him that I got to go to the cross. And Peter said, no, you're not going to the cross. So in other words, we know you're the Messiah. Now we see this glory. Why do you got to go to the cross? Let's just stay here and start the kingdom. You got to talk about this old cross stuff. Moses is here. I just said, let's just stay here. Look at verse 6. You'll get in a moment. Look at verse. So why did Peter say this? Somebody say why. Verse 6 tells us, for he did not know what to say. Why did he say this? He just said something. So y'all have never said something, and as soon as it went out of your mouth, he was like, "Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I should have said." No, I didn't. He didn't know what to say, for he was terrified. He was scared. Oh my God! So when I'm in my emotions, when I allow my emotions to overtake me, they cause me to say things I shouldn't say. He was terrified. He was scared. So that's why I should not have conversations in my emotions. Oh my God, I work on this. I work on this when I'm hot. Good God, yeah. When I'm hot, when I'm upset, I want to talk right now. I won't say anything, because I've learned that whenever you release those words and you say those words, you can't get them back. And come on, I'll say, no, I don't want to talk about it right now. We'll talk about it later. Go on now. Leave me alone now. Leave me alone now. Go on now. Come on here. Go on now. Leave me alone now. Go on. Leave me alone. I said, I don't want to talk about it right now. And then when you say, then they say, "Well, why you did that?" I said, "I ain't want to talk right now." Dog, pastor. Oh, here they go. Dog, preacher. You know how they'll go to the airport, that preacher card on you in a second. Ain't it amazing how sinners know what saints should not do, but they don't do it. They know what we not supposed to do. That's a whole nother message. Here, look at your notes. This is a blessing. This isn't for none of y'all. This is just for noonday. This is all just for noonday. This is nothing for y'all. Look at this part right here. It's not for none of y'all. Look, when you don't know what to say, it's best to say. That's nothing for none of y'all. None of y'all. That's just for noon. Some of us need to learn how not to say. You just got to say something. You just got that. Some of us, silence just bothers us. Yeah. Some silence just make you twitch. Just got to say something. And I've learned. Come on, because I'm kind of like that. Because my wife is a person. She's so funny. I know she watches. She's so funny. She don't have to be around nobody. Gonna talk to nobody. She cool. So I used to be like, "What's wrong? What's wrong with you?" She's like, "Nothing." Like, well, why are you not talking? What's up, baby? What I did? I said nothing. Now, by the time I asked like six times, now something is wrong. Come on, somebody. So now I've learned, man of God. I've learned that when I asked the first time, you good? I just said, you good? She said, yeah, I'm good. I mean, all right, I'm straight. I'm good. Let me see what's on TV. I'm good. As long as it wasn't me. That's why I want to. Did I do something? Come on. I need to. Was it me? Or did we good? Then let's go on about our business. Just don't feel like talking right now. And some of us, with our crazy self, we just got to say something. Let me keep going. I gotta let y'all go. Let me hurry. Because it gets better. Look at verse 5. I had to go to Matthew. I had to go to Matthew to show you this. Look at verse 5. It says, he was still speaking. Peter was. He was still talking. Behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my beloved son. That's God talking now. With whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. In other words, Peter, shut your mouth and listen to him. He said, this is my beloved son. I'm pleased with him. He's not going to the cross for punishment. No, I'm pleased with his life. He's the perfect sacrifice. He lived a life. He died. He's going to die a death that we should die. Come on here. I'm pleased with him. He said, listen to him. My God, I wish you would take this tonight and just put it down in your spirit. Put in a little space under this verse and just say, oh, I need to learn how to close my mouth and listen to the Lord. I need to hear his voice. I don't need to talk. I need to let him talk to me. Oh, Mark 9:7. That's okay. Mark 9:7 says that in the cloud overshadowed him and a voice came out of the cloud. This is my beloved son. He said, listen to him. I just wanted Matthew so Matthew can show you that Peter was still running his mouth. Oh, James got it, something he want to bring to the table. What you got to say about it, Brother James? Brother James said, know this. You should have known this, man. He said, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to get their point across. Be quick to get this off your chest. Be quick so you can understand me. Let every man, every person be quick to hear. Slow to speak. Oh, hold on, it gets better. Slow to anger. Some of us go from 0 to 100. I mean, like in a second. I mean, you go from going, good morning. What you said? I wasn't talking to you. Okay. Hey, all right. God bless you. Hallelujah. Oh, y'all don't know nobody. They go from 0 to 100 to 1,000. You'd be like, what happened? I mean, what are you talking? Some of us, we can turn a corner in a second, but the book say, I need to be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Look, let me say it to you this way. Let me say it to you the way grandma say. Grandma say, boy, you got 2 ears. And 1 mouth. That means you're supposed to listen twice as much as you talk. One person got it. Let me keep going because I lost all my amens. All right, Pastor. You said let it go when you're talking about Peter Club. Now you got it. All right, Pastor. We get the point, Pastor. Obviously not. Listen. Look at verse 8. I'm just dealing with the verses. I didn't make this stuff for you right here. I just write the divide and the word of truth. That's all I'm doing. Look at verse 8. Let me finish. And suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them but Jesus only. That's powerful, y'all. Because when you see those heroes, the heroes of faith, Elijah and Moses, at the end of the day, literally, when the dust settled and the smoke clear, there's only Jesus. No matter who you esteem, you call the name Pastor William Jacoby Nesbitt III. You call him Bishop this, Apostle this, Prophet that person. At the end of the day, the only one going to be left standing is Jesus. Y'all don't help me here. I mean, we talking about hero. Moses a hero. Elijah's a hero. When it's all over, the only one they saw with Jesus. That's where you need to set your hope on. Don't put your hope in people. Set your hope not on people. People will let you down. My God, I told my wife the other day, I said, baby, I said, change my pallbearers from being my friends and my brothers. Let them be the Jaguars. She said, why, baby? Because I want them to let me down one more time. Come on, somebody. I want them to let me down. So my point is this, that where people will let you down, the gators will let you down. I know y'all riding high right now. I know y'all think y'all on top of the world because y'all beat Florida State. Oh, but can I tell you, they'll let you down. Won't you put your hope in Tallahassee or Gainesville or downtown? Put your hope in God. They'll let you down. Look at verse 9. I'm sorry, y'all. I love you. Verse 9. Y'all throw something at me, I'm going to get you. Look, verse 9. Let me finish. I'm almost done. You don't think so, but I can do it. We're not doing the whole chapter. I'm slow dragging. Look, verse 9 says, and as they were coming down the mountain, he charged them to tell no one what they had seen. So don't tell anybody what you saw until the Son of Man had risen from what? The dead. He said, don't tell anybody what you saw. Don't tell them. Keep your mouth closed. But my God, God allowed something to transpire in these brothers' lives that they never, ever forgot. They couldn't tell somebody then, but they sure told somebody later. Look at what John said in John 1:14. It's on the screen. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his what? Glory. Glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace. And that's John's testimony. Look at Peter. Peter said in 2 Peter 1:16, for we did not follow cleverly this devised myths when we made known to you the power of and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his what? Majesty. Verse 17 says, for when we receive honor, for when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Look what John said again in John 1:1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. John said, I saw him with myself. I saw him in his glory. Peter said, I saw him in his glory. Oh my God, the disciple said, I saw his manifested glory. I saw him not just on the mountain, but even in his resurrection, we saw him. What am I trying to tell you? That God can give you a glimpse of his glory that'll take you from time all the way to eternity. God will give you a glimpse of his glory that you'll never, ever, ever forget, that he don't got to keep on coming to remind you every 3 months, every 6 months, every year. No, you don't need a Gideon anointing. No, God can let something be a ricochet blessing. It'll hit your life and it'll reverb off you for the rest of your life. I'm still living in overflow. I'm living off a word he gave me 2 years ago. I'm living off a promise he gave me 5 years ago. I'm giving off a promise that he spoke to me way back when. Let's live on, live on, live on. Look at somebody say, live on the overflow, live on the overflow. Let me, look, live on the overflow, live on the overflow. Verse 10 says, so they kept the manna. Are y'all enjoying this, or am I just wasting my time? Am I just wasting my time now? I'm just trying to walk through the text. Y'all going to be out in the parking lot so fast, you're going to say, oh my God, I know it's over already. Look at verse 10. Verse 10 says, so they kept the manna to themselves, questioning what this rising from the dead might mean. Look at these clowns. I mean, look at the disciples. Like they don't know what rising from the dead mean. All these dead people Jesus raised, and they don't know what rising from the dead. They question. See, I told you, listen, let's stay in context. They can't wrap their mind around the fact that he has to die. They're still talking. He can't die. I just saw the glory of God. What is he talking about dying? Verse 11, and they ask him, look what it says. Why do the scribes say that first Elijah must come? Verse 12, and he said to them, Elijah does come first to restore all things. And how is it written of the Son of Man that he should suffer many things and be treated with contempt? See, they don't want to deal with what he's talking about raised from. They said, don't say anything until you see me raised again. They go and start asking a question about Elijah. He said, I'm not talking about Elijah. Elijah did come, but what about the Son of Man going to suffer? He just keeps pushing them right back because it's going to rock their world. It's going to rock their world so much that they're running, they're hiding, they're afraid, they're scared, because they just can't wrap their mind around it. And some of us, there are some things that God is trying to do in our life, but we just can't wrap our mind around it. And you won't see what it is that God has for you because you just don't want to accept it. But God trying to tell you as hard as he can, I got more for you. I'm trying to tell you that I got something that I want to give you. Let me keep going. I'm trying my best. Look at verse 13. It says, but I tell you that Elijah has come that went before him, that prepared the highway for our Lord. The one went before him. Who was Elijah? Come on, who was Elijah? Who's the one that Jesus is making reference to? John the Baptist, JTB. He said a highway before. That's why they call JTB a highway, because JTB, John the Baptist. That's exactly why they cut. No, it's not. Somebody wrote that down. Looking like, ooh, that's a word. No, it's not. I made that up. Don't write that down. Verse 14. And when they came to the disciples, they saw. It's finna get good. Come on, this is it. We come around the mountain. This is the last stretch. And when they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and the scribes arguing with them. And y'all wonder why y'all got left. Y'all down here fussing. look at verse 15. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to him and greeted him. Him being Jesus. Verse 16. And he asked them, Jesus did. He asked them, what are you arguing about with them? Boy, I could stop there, but I'm not. Verse 17, and someone from the crowd answered him. None of the disciples answered. None of the scribes. Somebody from the crowd said, teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. I brought my son to you, Jesus, but Jesus, you wasn't here. Where was Jesus? He's on a mountain with the three. So he wasn't there. He brought his son to Jesus, but Jesus wasn't there. He said, there's a spirit, there's a demon, there's a devil that's making my son mute. Verse 18. And whenever it seizes him, the spirit, it seizes him, it does something to him. It throws him down. Say, throws him down. He foams. Somebody say foams. And grinds his teeth. Say, grind his teeth. And becomes rigid. So look what he says. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able. They couldn't do it. He said, I came looking for you. I couldn't find you. You were gone. My son has a problem. This devil, when it grabs him, it has all these attributes of it seizes him. It grabs him. It throws him down. It makes him foam in his mouth. And look. They said, I brought him to the brothers that was here. But they couldn't help me, because you wasn't here. Jesus is trying to teach them a lesson, because he's preparing them for his absence. Because he's saying, oh, you can't, why couldn't they do it? Why would Jesus answer the question? Look, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Verse 19 says, and he answered them, O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? I'm trying to go away. I'm trying to fulfill my purpose and my plan. How long do I got to be here? How long do I got to bear with you? He said, bring him to me. He said, oh, faithless gentlemen. So why couldn't they cast the devil out? They didn't have no faith. They were faithless. And Jesus is trying to teach all of us a lesson, because even though, watch me now, hear me, even though he's not present, that does not negate what he wants to do. Look, it's right here. It'll make sense. Kingdom ministry is having the ability to believe in an invisible source for visible manifestations. That's the best thing I said all year. Come on, y'all. Y'all looking at me like I said that. That's the best thing I said. It don't get no better than that, y'all. Kingdom ministry, doing kingdom business, is having the ability to have so much faith in God, the way he's an invisible source. He's not here with us. He's no longer with us. But I believe in that invisible source, and I pull my faith, and it manifests something in the natural. Come on here. He's trying to tell them and teach them, I'm not going to be here with you forever. I only left you for a season. I only left you for a little while, but when I'm gone permanently, you got to have that kind of faith that way you can pull into the natural world what it is that I told you belonged to you. They couldn't do it. They didn't have the faith. And Jesus trying to build up their faith and build up our faith. The Bible says, verse 20, and they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, the devil seen him, and immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about foaming at his mouth. Verse 21 says, and Jesus asked the Father, he asked his Father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. I've told you several times, anytime Jesus asks a question, he's not asking for information.